I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the MVP Show. My intention is that you listen to the stories of these MVP guests and are inspired to become an MVP and bring value to the world through your skills. If you have not checked it out already, I do a YouTube series called How to Become an MVP. The link is in the show notes. With that, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Mumbai, India. He works at CloudFronts as the practice lead. He was first awarded the MVP in 2020. He is a Microsoft India D365 user group lead and a 365 Saturday ambassador. You can find links to his bio and social media, etc., in the show notes for this episode. Prash, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Good to have you on. Tell me about you. Tell me about food, fun, family, everything you kind of, you know, that occupies your life when you're not working. Do you have any hobbies or anything like that?
Absolutely. So again, as you know, my name is Priyesh Wang. I started off my career at CloudFronts back in 2014. I'm an IT engineering graduate, and it's my first generation in Mumbai. My hometown is Aurangabad, which is about 250 miles from Mumbai. And I stay with my mother. And on this 9 years of my career in Dynamics 365 and Power Platform space, I grew from being a fresher to a junior to senior and onwards. And I grew pensioned of Dynamics 365 CRM and Power Platform in general. So in my initial years, I used to be, referring to the community all the time because I was a new learner. There was not much help, I could seek. So I always refer to the community. And over the years, I always thought that there are people who are spending their time helping other people on the community. They're really not getting anything probably. But what I realized is what they're getting is if you help, you also do get helped back. So it's always that's the whole meaning of the word community is you have to give and you also receive. So I started contributing on the community as well. Before I knew it, I was an MVP back in 2020 when I least expected it to be. And as far as, you know, personal life is concerned, I watch a lot of movies. So if anyone in my friends group has to ask anything to me about any movie or anything to anyone about movies, they would reach out to me and ask me because I'm that big of a movie freak. Then I spent my childhood playing a lot of games on the computer, on PlayStation. So I credit my good reflexes to gaming. That's how most of the kids grew up in India. But yeah, life has been good so far. Very thankful for that.
Tell me about the company you work for, CloudFronts.
Sure. So CloudFronts is in Mumbai. It was started by Anil Shah in 2012. I joined one of the initial members in 2014. And we are 100% Dynamics 365 on Microsoft Cloud focused. So, you know, I started off when I was a fresher. And that time it was Dynamics 365. It was Dynamics CRM 2013 online. So not much of on-prem work that I did. I focused mostly on the online side of things. And as Power Platform came along in 2016, gradually all clients started to, you know, use more and more of Power Platform, like a little bit of Canvas app, but mostly Power Automate. Not so much of virtual agents though, but Power BI as well. So, you know, the journey has been constantly evolving, but Dynamics 365 remains, CRM remains at the core, which is now, you know, divided between different apps like D365 Sales, Project Service Automation, which is now Project Operations, Field Service, Customer Service, and so on. So work has been good. Clients have been throughout the world, so have gotten rich experience of dealing with clients from all cultures, so which is rewarding.
And so I take it, yeah, you get projects from what, more the northern hemisphere than the southern hemisphere? Would that be right?
Yeah, more in the northern hemisphere. Some in Australia. I've worked with some clients in Australia. They're also fun to work with. Just that I haven't traveled there yet.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
It'll happen soon. Yes.
You know what blows my mind? What percentage of the world population is in the northern hemisphere? Just do you know the answer, or can you have a guess?
I would like to guess it would be 70%, 80%.
90%.
90% lives in the northern hemisphere.
Northern hemisphere. I couldn't believe it. Only 10% live south of the equator. Isn't that crazy?
I've heard over the years that a lot happens in the northern hemisphere than in the southern hemisphere in terms of the economic split, in terms of the weather as well, in terms of agriculture, in terms of natural resources. Well, they are more in the southern hemisphere though, but I've heard that northern hemisphere totally overpowers just the way Earth is inclined.
90-10 split. 90-10. Isn't that incredible? Like, because I'm working for a big company now, and one of the things that we see what our northern counterparts do in the northern hemisphere, and I'm like, you got to understand the population density in the northern hemisphere is 90% of what, 8 million people live in the northern hemisphere. So it is nuts.
Wow. That is absolutely astronomical.
How did you become an MVP? What was that process for you?
In 2018 or 2019, as I was doing more, I was deep into, you know, doing community work. I was primarily answering questions on the community.dynamics.com, which is the Dynamics 365 CRM community. Back then, it still exists today, of course. So, you know, people started recognizing that. Then there was this person, Raj Dynamics, Raj Chaudhary from UK. He spotted and he invited me once to Dubai to speak on a session because he saw that I was doing a lot of community work. I went to Dubai. I spoke on Project Service Automation. It was a great experience. And then, you know, he thought he should nominate me, which was great. So he nominated me back in 2019. But just because I was quite new and I didn't know how to navigate, or probably that took a long time. Then I was again renominated. I think that form didn't go through. Something happened. But then again, Nishant Rana nominated me in the early 2020. And then, you know, then I didn't hear back till the end of, till the day I became MVP. So after 6 months, I was an MVP. And by that time, I had even forgotten that I had a nomination form going on. So I was completely taken by surprise. I could definitely not sleep over that weekend, as you can guess. So it was a great journey. And, you know, after being an MVP, of course, there is a huge exposure. There's a huge benefit to being an MVP. And when people reach out to and ask for help, I feel thankful every single time when someone says, yes, this helped. This was helpful. So I feel it is rewarding, and it validates the effort that we put in. Personally, I always feel that it is a great self-validation about, yeah, what we are doing is right. The other side of it is that you get to learn a lot of great things, other real-world problems which people are facing. So it's like a double experience always, outside of what you've worked, but you also get to know what people have worked on, what are the other challenges. So that exposure to a whole gamut of possibilities is what's rewarding. And I wish that continues.
Yeah. One thing I notice with a lot of MVPs is that they are always learning something new, right? You never can sit because you want to be on the forefront of everything. So, for you, when you look at 2023, what are the new skills that you're thinking of developing? And it doesn't have to be specific in the area of biz apps, but what are you thinking of generally?
Yeah, so generally I see a lot of things happening, and even our work touching a lot of Dynamics 365, a lot of Azure practice. That is what really interests me. Since last year, even we are doing a lot of integration-based projects, which are primarily using Azure Functions. And with Azure Functions, then we touch upon a lot of other aspects of it, like storage, using keyword kind of apps you deploy on Azure. Then there's a whole other team at CloudFronts who's also working on the API management side of things in Azure. So there's a lot to learn from them as well. Younger folks, they're really keen on finding great stuff to learn about. And when I get involved, I feel that, hey, this is something cool. I also should learn that. So my inclination has started a little bit towards Azure as well. While Dynamics 365 and Power Platform remain at the core.
Yeah. Are you doing anything in the AI space?
I'm starting to look at it. I've just looked at the services that are offered, like the text-to-speech and, other 4-5 types. But yeah, Azure is something I've heard in recent months that, heavy investment is going on in Azure side of things. And it looks like it's going to be useful more and more for clients as well. So, yeah, of course, when I say Azure, that also is a part of it somewhere. Because, clients will come and ask, do you do something on Azure or not? AI side of things.
What's happening with the community in India? I mean, and what I've observed over the 12 years I've been in the program is that India seems to be flourishing, like so many people, skills developing. But actually, and I mean, in a lot of other countries, but actually in India, you know, the user groups and things, what's happening in that space?
Sure. So in recent 4-5 years that I've seen, the people who have started contributing initial years, they're still doing it. And now there is a younger generation, which is, 6, 7, 10 years older than us. They have also watched what happened in recent years, how people have how people have contributed, become MVPs, how they're able to exhibit their skills, finding platform to speak on. They find it very exciting when they're able to contribute, or when they say that, I'm part of the community. I contribute and I learn as well. That's really booming. And I saw that people who initially started, they haven't dropped off. They're still as active as they were. And it's an uphill climb.
Yeah. I take it, what do you reckon the impact of the last 3 years have been? Because obviously no MVP summit, no... the in-person events disappeared. How was that for your community there?
Yes, it's a great question. I always introspected that before 2020, when I was part of the in-person events, the little bit I traveled till then, it had a big networking impact, I feel. Today, all the virtual sessions are easily available. You could go online and join any session, and people could be anywhere, right? But it's only limited that you could learn a very few things from a session. So it's still very much, you're just watching a video though. And the exchange of ideas is still limited. Travel is expensive, it's time consuming and everything. But the value of in-person networking, the connect that you have when you meet in person, it totally changes the dynamic of the relation. Even if you make community friends or if you meet your prospects possibly, it changes. The in-person interaction still is king. I know it's returning now that the MVP summit happening in person this year. I think that will be back to some extent. But people who were new, who started off in 2020 or in the pandemic, they still have, if they don't have exposure of what was before, they'll still believe that virtual events are still cool, which they are. But, it's still is on a different level to be in person and to have that interaction.
Are you going to MVP Summit?
Most possibly. This week and next week is when I'm planning. I'm just working on my schedule to see if that's possible. But very likely so, yes.
I'm not going. It'll be the first time in 12 years that the event has run that I have not gone. But yeah, as in the announcement of it was so late, and it seems that at the moment airlines have put up their prices, and it was getting over $7,000 just to get there and back. It was just like, and I mean, that doesn't count for, you know, when you're in the bottom of the world like I am now living. That's a 2-day trip to get there and a 2-day trip to get home, you know. So 4 plus those, that's you know, it's crazy times.
So how many hours is it from New Zealand to Seattle?
Do you know, I have forgotten, because the last time I went, I didn't have to go direct. Like, I was going from London because I was living in London then. And then I moved home just before the pandemic. You know, so November 2019, I moved home. My last trip was to Singapore, and then boom, you know, the world locked down. So I don't know what it, you know, I've got a feeling it's over 20 something hours from memory, like maybe 28 hours or something. Just, and that's just in an aircraft. But don't quote me. I can't remember. It's been so long.
Either way, it's long distance. It's tiring.
It's a very long distance. Hey, Paresh, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And hopefully we'll get to see each other one day at one of these events.
Yes, absolutely. We'll look forward to that. Thank you, Mark, for having me on the show. Always a pleasure. I always look forward to it. And it was great talking to you.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If you like the show and want to be a supporter, check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 Guy. Thanks again, and see you next time.